Well, it's so good to be here this morning. We're going to get right to the preaching. You guys ready for God's Word? All right, we're going to go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. And as I read this, Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. Can we all just stand to our feet for the reading of God's Word? This is what the Word of God says. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher," notice the complaining that he's doing to Jesus. He said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams in the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they could not do it." And Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Notice what Jesus said here. How long am I going to put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. He fell to the ground, withering and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked, "How long has this been happening?" The father replied, "Since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us, if you can." Jesus says, "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus gets a little offended there, doesn't he? Jesus asks, "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." So which one is it? He said, "Jesus, I do believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd of the onlookers, and they were growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. He said, "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak." He said, "I command you to come out of this child." And I love what Jesus said here, and this is where the Lord began to move in me for this message today. Jesus said, "Come out of this child," and the next phrase, "and never enter him again." I want to speak to you this morning the subject I've titled, "Never again." Come on, say that with me. Say, "Never again." And say it to your neighbor. Just push him if you want. Say, "Never again." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this message that we're about to receive. And I just pray, Lord, on this message of never again, help us to understand. Help us to apply to our lives. Help us to leave this church service today completely new, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You guys can have a seat as we go into this subject of never again. See, I had another message planned for you guys, but then I started reading this one. And I read this story often. I've preached on it before, but there's something that really I picked up on that I never saw before. In verse 18, this man comes to Jesus and he's in trouble. And he's in agony and he's really just sorrowful because he feels bad that his son is being tormented by the devil. He had an evil spirit in his son. And any parent could understand that when you see your child suffering and you can do nothing about it, that will just bring you to the end of your mind. Amen? All my parents. This father goes to Jesus. He's a little bit upset. He's a little bit frustrated because he's telling Jesus, I brought him to you, yet it's not working. You ever feel like you've just done it God's way, but it's just not working for you? This is what this man is telling Jesus. And what I picked up on is in verse 18. See, in verse 18, the Bible says that this young boy had an evil spirit, and it would seize him. That's what the Bible says. It would seize him. And that word seize is a Greek word that's pronounced harpagano, which literally translates to capture, to overpower, and be robbed. Notice that word that this man told Jesus, because he's telling Jesus, there's something in my life that is capturing my son. I'm being captured by this evil spirit. It overpowers me, and it is robbing me. See, what a word this man brings to Jesus. Because this man, I feel bad for him as I read it, because as I read this passage, I felt bad for this man. Because he has a life of agony. He has a life of distress. And he's telling Jesus, there's all these things in my life that are capturing me. They're overpowering me. And they're robbing me. And it's just seizing me. But why I felt so bad wasn't this reason. The real reason I felt bad for this man is because the Bible says he told Jesus, whenever it seizes him. You guys catch that? Verse 18, the man tells Jesus, whenever. So it implies that there were some days that everything was fine. It wasn't always seizing him. It wasn't always capturing him. It wasn't always overpowering him. It wasn't always robbing him. The fact that he says, whenever it happens, it implies that there were some days that this man and this child were fine. They had good days, and then suddenly the good day would come to an end, and the power of the Spirit would overpower them and rob them and take full control, and they were back at it again. See, how many times in our lives can we relate to something like this? That you have your good days, you have your days that you're walking the right path, everything in life is good, everything is okay, and then all of a sudden, you're back at it again. And you're back in the same problem, back in the same mess, back in the same sin. You see, this man is telling Jesus what I want to tell you today. He's describing a life of partial victory. Not complete victory, because the word partial victory, it means not to be complete, to be limited. See, this man is describing a life of being up and down. And one day he's up, and then he's down again. And I felt bad as I read this, because I asked myself, I said, could it be that I'm just like this man? Could it be that I love Jesus and I'm a believer, but are there moments in my life that there are ups and downs? Could it be that in your life here this morning, you have your good days, that you got your sin on check, and it's not bothering you, and you're walking a good path, and you're okay, you didn't snap at someone, you didn't kill someone today, everything is good, and that's only because it's Sunday, but what about tomorrow Monday, when you go back to work, when you go back home, when you go back to your family, when you go back to your wife, when you go back to your routine? You know, some of you here, you don't know if tomorrow's going to be an up day or a down day. And you're here and say, Pastor, I relate to this man. I have my ups and I have my downs. And I felt bad, because that is not the life Jesus wants for you. And I felt even worse as I kept reading. Because the Bible says he told Jesus, I believe. So he's telling Jesus, I'm a believer. In fact, he is a believer. In faith, He was with the disciples. He was with the scribes and the Pharisees. He was praying, and the Pharisees were probably quoting scripture because they were real knowledgeable of God's word. And the word of God just began to speak to me here, and I realized something. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean you have all the victory. Just because you're a believer in Jesus Christ doesn't mean that the devil doesn't have you now. In fact, there's a lot of Bible-believing people in the church that are struggling with an evil spirit, and the devil still has them down. This man says, I believe. Do you think the devil cares that you believe? The Bible says that Jesus told the crowd, even demons believe. So I don't know, I'm not here to see if you're a believer. What I want to know this morning is it that you're a believer who is not experiencing the fullness of the victory of Jesus Christ? Are you a believer that's still in bondage? Because this man was praying, he was probably being quoted scripture. In other words, he had a great church service. And when it was all over, the spirit still had full power, was still robbing him, and was still taking him captive. It was almost like the Lord was showing me, David, if you knew how many people leave forward every Sunday, and the devil still has them, and how many people believe and are still in bondage. And you could be in this church service today, and we pray, and we read scriptures, and we fellowship, and we worship, and that does not bother the devil, because he knows the second you leave the doors of this church, he's going to be overpowering you by Monday, he's going to be robbing you by Tuesday, he's going to be capturing you all week long, and you're just going to come back to church, and he's still going to have you. This is what the Bible says about this man. He was a believer, but he was a believer in bondage. Do you know that as a Christian, that makes no sense to me? How can you be a believer and in bondage? See, because when Jesus died on the cross, he gave you all authority. He gave you all power. And it makes no sense that you have all the power over all those things that are overpowering you right now. You have all the victory in those areas in your life that right now you're not experiencing any victory. Because Jesus said, I have given you the power. And it scared me because I realized believing is enough to get you saved. But is it enough to get you out of bondage here on earth? Because I'll tell you, there's a lot of believers that are still in bondage. And many of us, like this man, we're living a life of partial victory. You know you have partial victory because you know you're on your way to heaven, but you're going to live a miserable life on earth. And you're sitting in this church today and you're saying, Pastor, I believe I have partial victory. Because I have my ups and downs, I have my moments that I'm good, and then all of a sudden, whenever it happens, my past comes back to me. My sin comes back to me. My habits come back to me. And it's like telling Jesus what this man said to Jesus. Whenever it happens, but it's not all the time. See, I wonder how many sins in your life are you stuck with, but it's not all the time. How many bad attitudes do you struggle with, but it's not all the time. And we kind of get comfortable because we say, well, I don't do it all the time. But if you're doing it once, you're still in bondage because it's still a part of your life. So like this man, you're saying you have good days and you're living right. And you have your flesh under control. You know what I'm talking about? We're the real people here today. You're saying, Pastor, I know what it is to have my flesh in control. You know, I have it in control until it's time to drop off my kids in school tomorrow and people cut me off and then it just happens. Can I tell you a secret? There's some people in our church that can't even put their Jesus fish on the car yet. Because they're still in bondage. They're like, I can't drive like a Christian yet. Because if it happens, like that evil spirit comes when you're in the Palmetto, right? We're on your way to work, you're dropping off the kids, and the spirit comes back. And whenever it happens, it just suddenly happens, and you go back to the person you were before you knew Jesus. That's not right. There's something seriously wrong when you're a believer and you're still in bondage. And you're saying, well, then, Pastor, there's some day I'm getting better. You're saying that right now. Well, I'm getting better. Yeah, you're getting better. But are you still in bondage? You're getting better, but do you still slip? You're getting better, but do you still go back to it? See, you can say, I have my flesh under control. I have my attitude under control. And maybe you have it in control for a day, a week, a month. But then comes the slip. Then comes the backsliding and you go back to it. And you're at it again. And when you're at it again, you realize one thing. This is still a struggle in my life. See, it's time to get real in this church today. I want to ask you, what is it personally in your life that captures you? What evil in your life still overpowers you even though you believe in Jesus Christ? What is it that robs you of the life that Jesus died for you to have? For some of us, it might be bitterness. And you're good for a while, but then bitterness just seizes you. The second you think about what that person did to you, how they failed you, how they wronged you. So you're in church, you're worshiping, everything's good. You go back home, everything's fine. You're living life okay. And then the devil reminds you of your past and what they did. And all of a sudden, bitterness seizes you again. And you're back to anger. You're back to resentment. And you're back to wrong attitudes because you haven't taken complete victory over that area of bitterness in your life. For some of you, it's lust. You're saying, I can go a week. I can go a day. I can go a month. I don't look at a woman. I don't look at pornography. I don't lust after people until they walk by in front of me. And I'm back at it again. For other people, it's fear. You're saying, well, Pastor, there's days that I'm living in faith and I believe God and I go to work and I raise my family and everything is fine and I have all this confidence and then one thought comes into my mind and I'm living back in fear again and I'm thinking, what if this happens and what if that happens? And then anxiety takes over and it seizes me again and I lose all my hope and I lose all my joy because I realize there are days that I have my ups and I'm not living in fear. But then it comes back and I'm back down again. That is not complete victory. For others, it's guilt. You leave church here today, you're going to be convinced that Jesus loves you. He's forgiven you of your past. And all of a sudden, Monday comes or in the middle of the week, and you're going to be reminded, the devil will remind you of your past. And some of your past go so way back. I'm talking the 70s, and you're still in bondage to it. And you're still thinking about your mistakes and your failures and your weaknesses and you're living your life with regret. So there's days that you're good and faithful and you're happy and then you're reminded about your sin of your past. You're saying, how could I have done that? And guilt seizes you again and robs you of your joy. For others, it's relationships. Listen, we're Christians, but that doesn't mean that we're supposed to be with everybody. And there are people in your life, you're saying, well, I know I should stay away from them. I know she's not the one for me, and I know. And I changed my number again, and I just text them, hey, it's my new number. I block them on social media, but then I unblock them. And I know I shouldn't, Pastor, but, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to love everyone. And then you're back at it again. Some of you were with them last night. You're saying, I'm back at it. See, how many of you, show me your hands, be honest, how many of you could say, Pastor, there's one area in my life I don't have complete victory in? I think all hands should be up. Because like this man, he's frustrated. He's tired. Because it is so exhausting to be a believer in bondage, isn't it? Because you know what you're capable of. You know you have access to complete victory. You know Jesus died for you on the cross, and yet you're back at your sin. You're back in your bondage. And you're like this man, you're saying, well, whenever it happens, it shouldn't be happening at all. But this man, he's tired and he's frustrated about just praying all the time and nothing happening. And going to seek counseling all the time and nothing happening. And he has all these religious leaders around. They're quoting him scriptures. Like some of you, you know the Bible better than me, but you're still in bondage. And you're praying and you're just believing. And you're still in bondage. You're going to the Word. You're going to church. You're going to your pastor. You're going to all these things thinking, now I know I'm going to have the victory. And you have it for a while. And then it seizes you. Again. And it captures you. Again. And you thought this time you weren't going to do it. And it overpowers you. Again. And you're back to the same sin, back in the same mess, back in the same behavior, back in the same attitude. And you've been robbed again. Robbed of the life that Jesus died for you to have. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to seek, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life. That word life means joy. If you're a believer and you have no joy in your life, it's because the thief still has you. And you're still in bondage. And Jesus said, I died. I have come so that when I am here, you now have life. You have joy. You have freedom. And if you're saying, Pastor, I'm a believer, but I'm not living like that, it's because right now you're still in bondage and the thief is still seeking to kill and destroy you. And you're saying, Pastor, he is. Because I'm still in bondage to old ways and habits and thought patterns and ways of living that I thought I could overcome. I thought I could overpower, but right now they're overpowering me. You see, yesterday, I had a small toothache back here. I don't know why or what had happened, but I had a small toothache in the back. And I put oral gel on it. God bless oral gel. And as I put oral gel on it, it numbed the mouth of mine and the pain was gone. And I thought, man, this is awesome. I'm ready to go. And like 20 minutes later, the pain was back. So I applied some again and it was good. And another 10 minutes later, I was back at it again. And the pain kept going back. And then I looked at the bottle and it said, for temporary relief only. And I said, there's the problem. Because some of us, we have a little oral gel situation with Jesus. And you come to forward and that's your oral gel for the week. You apply it. You feel good. And then you're back at it again. Can I get a witness this morning? Anyone say, Pastor? I got some oral gel religion in me. Because I have temporary freedom. I have temporary relief from this pain and this sin and this guilt and this problem and this bitterness and this lust and this fear. It goes away temporarily. Do you think Jesus died on the cross to give you temporary relief or complete redemption? What do you think? He said, I have died to give you full redemption. But see, there's so many believers like this man in the Mark that you're living a life of temporary. And then the pain comes back. See, God is a God about completion. That's why when He created the heavens and the earth, and He was done, He didn't do a halfway job. And then when Jesus died on the cross, the last thing He said was, it is what? Finished. Complete. He didn't say, it is done for now. It is finished right now. Jesus declared it was complete. There's something wrong when you're a believer, but you don't have complete victory over an area of your life. And I'm not here saying that you're going to live a sinless, perfect life. I'm talking about those little areas right now you should have been done with a long time ago. Because there is no one here that can have complete victory over sin and say, I never struggle with sin at all. Because here's the sin that you're struggling with. You're a liar. And you're prideful. So work on that. That's why Jesus confronts Mary Magdalene, who was up to no good. Because you know, the women are bad too. And He confronts her and says, I'm not going to condemn you, because thank the Lord He doesn't condemn us. But He did tell her, sin no more. And I know that sin is a word we don't like to use in church today. Well, in this church, you're going to hear a lot of it. But see, He goes to this woman and He says, go and sin no more. He's not giving her an impossible task of never sinning again, because even Jesus knows that that's impossible. But Jesus was talking to her about a particular sin in her life, a sin of lust and greed that she had. See, I want to know today, if Jesus were right here in the flesh, what sin would He pick out on you? What sin would He just look at you and say, stop it. Stop it right now. You know better. And He tells her, completely stop. Don't sin with this anymore. And if Jesus commanded her to do that, it's because it is possible for you to have complete victory over an area of sin in your life. Don't let the devil convince you you'll always be this way. Jesus tells this woman, go and sin no more. You know what sin I'm talking about, girl. You know. He says it to her. This is so important that you guys read this. Because when Jesus heals the blind man, He says, take up your mat and leave. Don't come back to this spot. Why? Because He's saying, I don't want you to come back to this place of sin. Because it's possible that God can say right now, I can do such a work in your life, you never go back to that again. That's complete victory. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 25 through 26. Notice what Jesus said here. Jesus said He placed His hands on the man's eyes again. This is a blind man. I love this. Because notice this. Jesus placed His hands on the man's eyes. How? Again. So see, sometimes you got to get touched a second time by God. Amen? You say, first time didn't work. And I love Jesus. Oh, you need another touch? Here I go. He'll touch you again. And notice what He says. This man, He placed His hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. He had complete healing. His sight was Completely. This man wasn't healed. So I see a little bit. Jesus said, I heal you completely. We serve a God of completion. So that when you've truly been touched by God, see, I believe that today, the Word of God is telling you there are some areas in your life God wants to touch now. So that you don't go back to it again. So that you can have complete victory. See, I realized last night as I emptied out the whole bottle of Orgel. The whole bottle. I don't even know how I'm preaching right now. I'm numb. You know why? I hate the dentist. That drill. And I don't want to face the fact that the problem I have in my mouth is not a surface issue, it's a root issue. Because I know that if I want the problem to be completely gone, I have to trust someone to get down into the root. You all know what I'm talking about now. Get down to the root and fix it, but I don't like the process of that complete healing. But somehow next year I'm going to have to face the facts. I'm going to have to go. And I'm going to take some stock in Orogel. I'm going to wipe them clean. I'm telling you. But see, my issue here is that in this church today, God is saying, are you tired of just being temporary with me? Are you tired of just temporary relief? Because all of us here, there's some root problems that God wants to get to. There's a root issue. And you know, I can prove this in this story. Because the Bible says that the minute Jesus was about to deliver his son from this evil spirit, notice this. The Bible says that the evil spirit showed up again one more time, because right when you're about to get delivered and God's about to do his best work, the devil wants one more shot at you. And right when Jesus is about to speak into his life, the whatever happened. And it seized him one more time. And he was thrown on the ground and he was convulsing and shaking and everything. And you know what I noticed about Jesus? Jesus didn't run to the boy. He started talking to the father. And the boy's like, on the floor. And Jesus is like, I'll deal with you later. I love how God works. God said, you know what? You're not the problem right now, devil. I'm going to deal with you later. Because the real issue right now is his father. And he sits down with him as his son is on the ground. And he's like, how long has this been happening? Let's talk about faith. What do you believe? And he's having a discussion. So it shows me that Jesus, he's not paying attention to the boy. Why? Because the boy is not the problem. See, some of you, you're only focused on the problem, but God is saying, that's not the problem. You're the problem. But it's hard to admit that. And he wants to get to the root issue of why this keeps capturing him, why this keeps overpowering him, why this keeps robbing him. So see, I want to give you quickly three root issues of why you keep going to it again. When God said, never again. Number one was a lack of surrender. Verse 19, this man, Jesus says, bring him to me. And this is what I noticed. Notice what Jesus said. He said, how long has it been with you? How long? You know, because Jesus says, how long have you been struggling with this? And he says, since childhood. How many know that's a long time? See, there's some sin in the room right now that you've been dealing with for far too long. How long? I love the question, second question. How long? The two how longs of how Jesus said. How long has this been happening? And how long am I going to put up with you? Imagine God looking at you, and how long am I going to put up with you? Can we be honest? Some of you here, we say, Pastor, he's been putting up with me a little bit too long. How long must I put up with you? And then Jesus does this amazing commandment. Bring him to me. Here's the problem. Someone's lying. I guarantee it's not Jesus. Because look at verse 17. Look at what this man says in verse 17. When they were in the crowd and they were arguing, he said, I what? Brought my son so you could heal him. You know what he tells Jesus? I brought him to you. So who's lying? Who's wrong? Because Jesus said in verse 19, bring him to me. But in verse 17, before 19, he said, I brought him to you. See, some of you think you've surrendered something to God. You think, oh, I've given that to him. And that's why, number one, here's a big root problem in the church today, is a lack of true surrender. Because he said, here's how bipolar this guy is. He said, I brought him to you, but your disciples couldn't do anything. You see the contradiction there? He said, I brought him to you, but they could do nothing. Who'd you bring him to then? He caught himself in a lie. See, some of you say, oh, I surrendered it to God, but you're still trying to figure it out. You're still depending on people. You're still trying to make it happen. The word surrender means to let go and let God deal with it. It means to let go and do it God's way. You can say with your mouth, Lord, I surrender this sin to you. But if you're still trying to do it on your own, some of you say, Lord, I surrender my son and daughter to you who are strayed away. Lord, I surrender my financial crisis to you who strayed away. Lord, I surrender my marriage to you, Lord, because I think there's an evil spirit in my wife right now. Lord, I surrender. And you say it with your mouth, and yet you don't do it God's way. Because real surrender means, Lord, I'm letting this go, and I'm going to do it your way. When you surrender to the Lord, you're saying, Lord, I'm coming under your authority. So this man has a lack of surrender in his life because he only believes he surrendered it to God. He says, Jesus, I brought him to you. But Jesus was like, no, you didn't. Because then why is Jesus commanding him, bring him to me if you already did in verse 17? See, that really spoke volumes to me because I realized the reason there's such a lack of victory in church today and people keep going back to their sin and again and again and again being captured and overpowered and robbed over the same problems and the same behavior and attitudes and sin is because with your mouth you've confessed it and you've surrendered it, but with your life you have not truly gone under the authority of God. So I can say, Lord, I surrender my health to you. I can say that a million times, but if I run to McDonald's like I did yesterday and went crazy, and if I run to that chocolate cake, and if I run, I mean, did I really surrender it to God? See, sometimes we feel good about saying it, but not living it. A lack of surrender. Because when you truly give it to Jesus, you do it his way. The second root problem that this man had was doubt. Because in verse 23 and 24, the reason that this evil spirit is laughing at him, still capturing him, still overpowering him, still robbing him since childhood, a long time, is because he tells Jesus this powerful thing. If you can. See, some of the reason that bondage and to anxiety and fear has you is because you live with if syndrome. Some of you are a slave to fear because you think, what if? Hasn't happened yet, but what if it does? I hear it all the time, but what if? You know that if it happens, is God not still God? Is God not still in control? Is God not still sovereign? If the worst if of your life happens, and somebody say, yeah, but what if it does? God's like, I guess I'll still be there. I guess I'm still powerful. But the devil says, what if? What if you're single forever? What if you never get healed? What if you lose your house? What if you lose your job? Some of you started your job last week. You're like, what if I lose it? What if? And then another group of people with if syndrome live with discontentment because they say, well, if only I had this. And if only I had that. And you ignore the blessing God has given you now because the people with if syndrome are saying, well, if only. And then the other group of people with the if syndrome live with regret and guilt because they say, well, if I would never have done that. And if I would have said no, and if I would have just run away, and if I would never have gone to that place, I would never have done it. And the devil has you with this if syndrome. And this man, he looks at Jesus in the face and says, if you can. And Jesus is like, what do you mean? If. Because you know what tells me? That I could be a believer like this man and live in constant doubt. He has uncertainty because that's what that word if is. If means uncertain. I don't know. I'm not sure. And there are so many believers of Jesus Christ who have doubt. He tells Jesus, I believe. Because I believe that some of you here, you're saying, Pastor, I believe. I believe in Jesus. Great. I believe he died. Awesome. I believe I'll be with him in the pearly gates. Great. You believe. And what? Are you still in bondage? See, this story tells me I could be a believer in bondage. You know why? As he says in verse 23 and 24, he says, if, and he's struggling with if syndrome. And Jesus says, all things are possible with him who believes. But it didn't work. Because notice he said, the Father instantly cried out. I love his honesty though, don't hate on this guy. He said, I do what? Believe, I believe. But, can you help me overcome my unbelief? I hate counseling people like this. They just don't know what they want. And I realized what this man was saying. And it's what you're saying to God today. It's what I struggle with this too. He's saying, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you're God. I believe you have the power. I believe you can heal. I believe, but what I'm having a hard time believing is that you can do it for me. See, that's the church today. There's a lot of unbelief in the church. So it's crazy because ironically, there's a lot of unbelieving believers in the church. Does that make sense? He's like, well, to me it does because I'm one of those unbelieving believers. How do you know you're an unbelieving believer? It's because you believe God's a provider, but you doubt he can provide for you. You believe that God is a healer, but you doubt he can heal you. You believe he can do it for anyone else, but you doubt he can do it for you. You believe he can make a way, but you doubt he can make a way for you. Somehow you've excluded yourself from the provisions and the power and the sovereignty of God for your personal life. That's what he's telling. I believe you can cast this demon in a second, but I doubt you can cast a demon in my life and in my child. So that's the root issue of this man. He's saying, I believe in you, God, but I don't believe that you can do this for me. So not only is he having a root issue of a lack of true surrender, but he's having a huge root issue of doubt because he believes in Jesus, but he doesn't believe that the power that Jesus has can be open in his personal life. I believe that God can forgive because God is a God of forgiveness, but I doubt he can really forgive me because you don't know what I've done. So as we close this morning, here's a big lie that's preached in the church. Here's a lie that sometimes pastors say. And sometimes we believe. You know what that lie is? I hear it all the time and it just angers me. God can't work if you have doubt. Is that true? Oh yes, it's true, Pastor, because the Bible says without faith is impossible. The mountain won't move. Then you've just limited God. I love it because this man looks at Jesus and he's so honest because we got to stop being fake around God. And he says, listen, I believe, I'm a believer, but I have doubt about what you can really do in my personal life. But God, I'm tired of believing and being in bondage. I'm tired of going back and forth with this sin and filth in my life. I'm tired of being up one day and down the next. I'm tired of being captured and overpowered and robbed by the devil. I'm tired of my organized origel religion. I'm tired of having temporary freedom, temporary relief, until it wears off and I'm back at it again. Back at it, the same attitude, back to the same sin, back to the old me. Maybe you have the same root issues. There's been a real lack of true surrender over a certain area of your life. Or maybe you're a believer and you're saying, I believe in God and His power, but I'm struggling with a lot of doubt and I have that if syndrome. Stop believing this lie that God can't work with your doubt. Because he tells Jesus straight up and honest, he says, can you help me with my doubt? Could you help me with my unbelief? Jesus didn't say, I can't because you still doubt, and I can't work if you don't believe. Jesus admired the fact that this man was honest enough to look at God in the face and say, listen, I'm struggling and I need help. He says, Jesus, help me. There's something about a believer that cries for help that God cannot ignore in spite of anything you may be doubting right now. And Jesus still says, bring him to me. I know you're doubting. I know you're afraid. I know you don't trust me, but bring him to me. Let me prove to you why you should trust me. Let me show you why. Because we gotta stop this idea that you need to have 100% perfect, flawless faith for God to work. Why don't you get honest with God and say, Lord, I have a hard time trusting you right now, but I'm still surrendering to you. I have a hard time believing, but I'm still gonna trust you. You know why Jesus still worked in the life of this unbelieving believer? Number one is because, first of all, he humbled himself and said, help me. I can't do this anymore. And second is because even though he had doubt, now listen to this, even though he had doubt, he still brought him to Jesus. Because what the Lord honors is someone that in spite of doubt and fear, still chooses to obey. You don't think I have doubt today about our church, what God's gonna do? You don't think I struggle with if syndrome? It's like a rash, it comes back, but I have to pray it away. I realize, Lord, I may have fear, I may have doubt. I can flat out tell you right now, I have a hard time believing you. I have a hard time trusting you, but it will never stop me from doing what God commands me to do. That's true obedience. That's why Jesus said, I can work in your life, because I know you doubt. I know you have fear. I know you don't trust me right now, but you still brought it to me. You still asked for my help, and I can't ignore that. If you would humble yourself and say, Lord, I need help with this. Lord, I need you to just supernaturally do something about this. If you would just humble yourself and say, God, I can't do this on my own. And if you would truly surrender and say, no matter what I feel, no matter how I think, it's not going to stop me from obeying you, God. God will honor you too. And I love what Jesus said in verse 26, because let me tell you what happened here. It's often what happens to me when I bring something to God, and it's going to happen to you when you bring something to God. Bible says that they brought him to Jesus. He was obedient and he did it. Did you ever catch when I read this story that the Bible says that he began to shake on the ground, he began to shake and have a foaming in the mouth, and he appeared dead? The Bible says that he appeared dead, to the point that everyone started shouting, he's dead! You ever feel like you've obeyed God and you've done it his way, but things aren't looking so good right now? You ever in faith trust God and yet it seems like it's dead? You're saying, God, I brought my child to you, but they haven't changed. I brought this problem to you, but I'm still going through it. I brought this to you, and all I hear is the enemy and the voices telling me it's dead, it's hopeless, it's over, and it looks worse. But here's the thing about God. It looks worse because it's about to get better. And he says, it's about to get better. And the Bible says in verse 26 that Jesus got him up. The Spirit screamed. I love that. Jesus took him by the hand. The people said, he's dead. How many of you hear that voice telling you right now, it's dead? Stop believing, stop trusting, it's over. But whatever you've truly surrendered to God will live in Jesus' name. He took him by the hand and helped him up to his feet. He stood up. I love what Jesus commanded him. He said, leave him now. And don't you return ever again. Could you imagine you can experience such a deliverance that you can say, I will never again go back to that. I will never go back to that sin. Let's all stand to our feet today. As we wrap up today's service, I wonder who I was preaching to today. I say, Pastor, I'm struggling with this again and again and again, and it seizes me. It captures me. It overpowers me. See, when Jesus looks at this man, he says, bring him to me. Why didn't Jesus just go to the boy? Because in order for Jesus to work in his life, you need to just truly surrender. And Jesus gives him an invitation. Not an obligation. You have a choice to make. Are you truly going to surrender to the Lord? Are you tired of being a believer with unbelief? A believer in bondage? Are you tired of living with the if syndromes and the fears and the anxiety? And are you just tired of the enemy just capturing you, overpowering you and robbing you time and time again over the same thing you promised God you stopped doing? When When you surrender that to God, you're saying, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. It might mean that I have to end certain relationship. I might have to shut some things off. I might have to move some places and some things around. Lord, I'm willing to do what it takes as I'm surrendering this to you. If this is you, you put your hand up and say, Pastor, it's me. I'm surrendering this to God. God bless you. I want to invite you all, as Frankie comes up, to get ready to worship. I want to pray over you today. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender once and for all, because Jesus said these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far. Could it be that you've only surrendered to Jesus with your mouth, but not your heart? Your mouth service to God is not going to heal you. So stop saying the right things to God and let Him change you so you start doing it. So right where you're at, make some room. You need to come up. You come up to this altar right now if you're saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. Come on, give God some praise today if you're saying, Pastor. You come up right now. If you're giving your life to Jesus, if there's sin in your life, there's no shame. We're in church. Everyone has a struggle. You come to this altar right now. God bless you. You come to this altar and you say, Lord, I'm serious this time. No more. Never again. Never again. Let's all pray together. Maybe you're here today, and I'm going to pray first for the people that want to truly surrender to Jesus. I don't want to end another service without the opportunity of someone to make Jesus Christ Lord of their life. Because there's a problem that God wants to fix first and foremost, and that's the sin that is separating you from Him. And it's time for you, whether you're here now, you're listening online, to make Jesus Christ truly the Lord of your life and truly surrender to Him. Just pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I surrender. I give you my life. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. As I turn from my ways, I now give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Give Him a shout of praise today. Let's pray. Let me pray for all of you here today. If you're here today, I want to pray one last prayer. You're saying, Pastor, I'm a believer. I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm miserable on earth. I'm in bondage. I'm a believer in bondage. If that's you today, there is something seriously wrong with that picture. Because God does not want to give you temporary relief, but complete redemption. Stop doubting that sin you've struggled with since childhood can just stop in a moment. Because in the power of Jesus, notice what Jesus said, anything is possible. Don't you limit God any longer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, there is sin in the room that has plagued us since childhood, a long time. There's sin in the room that they will go back to, that they go back to time and time again. And there are people in the room that have their ups and their downs, and they're not always living in bondage, but there are moments that the bondage comes back. There are people here today, Lord, that are living with partial victory. So today, God, I pray that you will give them the power that only you have to overcome that sin one last time. That it may never again be an issue. I pray, God, for complete victory over people here today that are struggling with addiction, that are struggling with guilt, that are struggling with lust and sin, and people that are struggling with bad attitudes. Whatever it is, God, I pray that we know without a doubt they're tired and frustrated of all the prayers and all the church services and all the sermons, and they're still going back and they're still in bondage. And I pray, mighty God, that this be the service that they experience true, complete restoration and freedom. That we can experience the freedom that says, I will never go back to that again. We pray this and surrender it to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise today. Give it up for these gentlemen here today.